Andy, can you give me a sound test again? Sound check.
Nintendo Power, The Legend of Zelda, Link's Awakening, damn. Magic and Mystery. MP50.
It's a good fucking voice. Yeah, I don't know about great. Levels, but
woo!
The voice is a voice made for radio.
Dude.
That's right.
Here we go.
Voice for radio.
All right.
Voice for radio.
So he's just going off vibes.
Yeah, project music vibes.
All right.
Here we go.
We're here. It's been a while since we recorded, but welcome to the Nintendo Power. Now you're playing with podcast, the podcast for Brett and Weston.
Hey, it's me, Weston.
Yeah, we're a little comedy water boys.
Greetings, greetings. Hold for applause.
Yeah. We're back. Long-awaited return. Where we read every volume of the Nintendo Power magazine.
One volume at a time
is what I normally say.
Yes.
We're currently on July 1993. And that's it. Yeah, that's the time period.
This is not a special number for us because it's our 48th episode.
Yeah.
But it is a special volume of Nintendo Power.
Wow. Okay, did you skip two?
Oh, well, no, it's because they...
Hang on, I got a chart.
We
have a chart.
Honestly, the slow roll could be us explaining this.
There's a reading guide to figure out how to go all the way through.
So we've had bonus episodes, which have added to it, but at the same time, for a while, they were doing volumes and strategy guides as a double combo. So it would be volume 16 and 17. So we would kind of bundle them together. So there was a streak of eight episodes where we were actually covering technically two volumes of the magazine.
Yeah. So for the readers at home, let me just run down the chart that I built so you can keep track of it. Nintendo Power volumes and the Now You're Playing with podcast episodes match up 1-to-1 from episode 1 to episode 9.
That's when you'll be safe. Episode 10
of Now You're Playing.
Get out of there.
Is the Christmas rodeo special episode.
Look, once you get to 10, you need to start to feel like you're growing up. It's time to take risks. It's time to rodeo.
Yep. It's like when you're literally age 10. Hi, Andy Petruzzo here.
Guests, just introduce yourselves.
Oh, guests, we're in it now. I'm Ethan.
Hey, it's Ethan and Andy returning this very special episode.
Hi, it's good to be on the pod.
It's excellent to be back. If you really want the full experience, find our earlier episodes and listen to them simultaneously to make it feel like we've done this together before.
To get a whole feel for Ethan's oeuvre, my oeuvre. Episode 50. Wow, it's happening.
It's happening.
It's not episode 50,
though.
This
isn't episode 50.
Yeah,
I mean, issue 50.
Issue 50.
Fuck.
I know.
It's actually volumes, not issues.
Yeah, it's all volumes.
Right. So to go back
I've got
to
volumes
the,
of issues.
Let me just finish this guide, guys. This is going to take a couple minutes. Episode
Andy,
11.
Andy, can you leave?
Sure.
Wait, don't kick him out yet.
Okay.
Yeah, that's fair.
Okay. Episode 11.
Back to the rock, paper, scissors, Andy.
Episode 11 of the Now You're Playing with podcast covers volume 10 of Nintendo Power. Episode 12 covers volume 11. We'll skip ahead a little bit. You get the idea. Episodes 14 to 17 each cover two issues. Two volumes, I'm sorry. 13 to 14, 15 to 16, 17 to 18. And then episode 17 of Now You're Playing covers volumes 19 and 20. So at that point, episode 18 of Now You're Playing covers volume 21. And they continue to be three apart.
I think I'm starting to have an aneurysm of some kind.
Oh, yeah.
You think that's bad? I had to write this thing.
I think I'm seeing the Matrix.
Yeah.
You know, it's like just the lines are like kind of separating a little and the space in between.
I think I see it too.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's crazy, guys.
It's pretty complicated. I don't think it matters.
I like that we focus on volumes because then now you can go back through if you want to and do the issues episodes where you focus on one or two issues at a time.
We really desperately needed to our numbering convention needed to be letters or Roman numerals or something because it is deeply confusing.
I just name it volume. It's it's named volume. It's this episode is volume 49, right? Okay.
No, it's volume 50, right?
Well, yeah, it's volume
episode 50. 48.
Episode 48, volume 50. What is so hard to understand about this? The guests have got it figured out. How does it feel? How does it feel to know that you are hitting volume 50
this is
Nintendo Power?
Yeah, let's.
This is a milestone.
How do you guys feel?
Thank you for letting us be here for this.
So this is not our anniversary.
Episode 48. This is a deal, you two.
Approximately.
Volume 50.
We're not sure that it's 48, by the way. It might be a different number. So if you're listening to this because of the way we structured this season.
I could probably look it up.
I thought you made a whole guide.
No, I can't.
Let's just go with the problem,
if we do one of the other special episodes before, this would be episode.
This is volume 50.
Yeah. So it's been there's a great retrospective feature in the magazine. I don't want to spoil it, but perhaps we could talk about Brett, our experiences subjecting ourselves to 50 volumes.
Oh,
It's not 50 though. It's 40. How many volumes did we actually go through? Because we didn't do the strategy guide.
So yeah,
subjecting ourselves to approximately
45.
Yeah, 42, 44,
43
volumes.
Yeah,
I think we can put the whole episode thing to bed.
Yeah, I'm satisfied. Where's our little Pikachu? Oh, it's the hand.
The cover.
Okay, so we're on the cover.
This owl has a secret.
Yeah, there's an owl. covering its mouth. It's a wise owl, if I remember correctly. This is Nintendo Link's Awakening, and it's the owl from that.
If you remember from the game, it sounds like.
Can we get that on soundboard?
This is. Oh god, I wish I had a sampler handy, so it'd be really easy.
Yeah,
to
how it sounded
that.
Like in my game.
What do we think the owl's secret is?
This is also a gold foil cover. This was a big deal in the actual magazine.
Made out of gold foil.
Yeah, it's because I remember getting
they printed
this issue.
It. Yeah, they unwrapped all those Wonka chocolate bars and printed the magazine straight onto the empty wrappers.
Wow. Yeah.
If you look close enough, you can see the tears of spoiled children.
Oh, yeah.
In the margins of the. From the
you know what that
owl
secret is?
Yeah. I've got a golden ticket.
I'm in.
This also has this very cool looking NP50 logo that'll come in handy later at multiple points throughout the issue.
And a sword. You can't forget the sword.
Yeah, this is the sword. That is from box art of the first two games.
Yeah.
This is not in later games with the Master Sword.
Yeah, they definitely, there's a lot of jewels on this sword.
They simplify it down. This is when Link was still choosing the wrong sword in The Last Crusade. Mm. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's this jewel encrusted, gaudy monstrosity, I believe, is how Elliot Gould
describes
it.
Maybe
the owl's
secret is this sword's dumb. The dumb sword.
Too flashy.
You really walk around with that?
Flashover function.
I like this game.
Yeah, it's really good.
Yeah. It's a good game. I remember this was a really big deal because I love Game Boy and I was target audience for this. Zelda fan. Young, 9-year-old boy.
Yeah.
And Zelda on Game Boy. Can it be done?
Yes.
I think it could.
Wake up.
Yes, apparently.
Wake up, Andy. It's here.
I'm going to say something pretty bold and crazy. But I think I like Link's Awakening more than Link to the Past. Honestly, I know that's crazy, and no one's. I like it. It's like really. The game's funny. It's like
it is funny.
There's funny dialogue. You can steal from a shopkeeper.
Oh yes! Oh my god, that's my favorite.
We've talked about. Wait, well, did they cover this? They must have had a preview of Link's Awakening earlier, because Andy, I definitely remember you talking excitedly about the shopkeeper shooting lightning at you if you stole from him.
Yes, if you can steal something from the shop if you don't have enough rupees, or if you just don't want to pay.
Yeah,
and then you come back if you walk back in the store later. Somehow the shop owner becomes super powerful and shocks you and kills you, and then you become named thief for the rest of the game.
Yep,
it's like Spelunky.
There's man. So yeah, that's my take.
And Yoshi's in the game, and there are Goombas in the game.
There's Goombas. There's chain shops.
Right, you can walk it around as a pet.
Yeah,
I'm gonna say this is the only dream based narrative thing that only happened in Link's head. It's definitely not real. Like all other stories where characters have a dream, those are real. This one is. You know, when they wake up at the end, like at the end of that one Bob Newhart show.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I don't know what that is.
Bob Newhart.
He was like this old comedian who gives a fuck.
Are you talking about like when like a Goosebumps book, like a person's a vamp, like turns into a werewolf, and then he wakes up. Oh, it was all a dream. Then he looks in the mirror, and his hands are like werewolf hands. And
because it really happened.
But this was all a dream, wasn't it?
Yeah, this one didn't actually happen.
Yeah.
He probably had PTSD after the harrowing events of the great game A Link to the Past.
Yeah.
Which, does that also mean that the title of the game is just the last few moments? Link's Awakening is when he wakes up from the dream at the very end of the game.
Oh, yeah, really. All that happens is you wake up.
He's like,
it's like if they...
An owl?
The name of... The name of Link to the Past was...
They got him out of thief. I thought I was a thief for a second.
It was all a dream. That's what he says when he wakes up.
Imagine living through that whole dream where the shopkeeper thinks you're a thief and you get shot with lightning and then just trying to go buy your morning coffee the next day after waking up from that dream, just being like, oh, God, are we okay?
I'm glad that's not real. Because I used to steal like pieces of candy from Randall's, a.k.a. Vaughn's.
All right. So you played around with that. Yeah. You lived on the edge.
Yeah. How'd it feel?
I never got shocked.
You never
unless this is all a dream.
You wake up now, you're 9 years old again.
Whoa!
You fell asleep playing.
What is Link's a PlayStation Awakening? 5? Hey, have you guys seen that movie Inception?
Yeah.
Oh, I love Nolan.
Based off of Link's Awakening.
I just rewatched it the other day.
How was it?
It's great. It's got dreams in it. Like people go into dreams and they're all like GoldenEye levels.
Oh, yeah. They are.
What do you guys think of the filmmaker Nolan?
I feel like I like him. I don't love him. I like him.
Yeah.
That's how I feel.
Mailbox.
Maybe you just don't get it.
Whoa. All right. We're here at the Player's Pulse, the mailbox. I was very struck that somebody said that they were from the colony, Texas, which sounds like some kind of like Jonestown or something.
Yeah. It sounds like the
like
town.
Like a compound.
The Disney-owned suburb in
Celebration.
Florida.
Celebration.
Yeah.
I was so excited to visit Celebration for years. I was just like, I gotta go to this weird Stepford town Disney made.
Sounds like a party all year round.
Yeah. It's not. It's just a boring suburb.
It's just a Stepford Wives Club.
Would you get like free Disney Channel or like anything?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's the monthly paying for the garbage pickup.
One of Mickey Mouse's bones is in the foundation of every house in Celebration. When they set the foundations, they
and one of Walt's neurons from his brain.
Absolutely. That was the seed that started it all. So Player's Pulse here. This really made me think of the editor power in this magazine because Kathy Spencer here, our second letter writer, is like, hey, can you just like own my brother by publishing my thing? Like, is there a precedent to the two of you who have now read the volumes prior to this? Do we know if Kathy Spencer's brother got in?
Ooh.
Sends fan art, sends letters in almost every month, it seems.
And they're probably like, oh, the sister.
Yeah, and then she's just like, I made this on Mario Paint. Can you just like rub it in my brother's face?
Yeah.
And Nintendo's like, hell yeah.
Yes.
I mean, if I were reading letters and was like, can you help me dunk on my brother? I'd be like, absolutely.
Oh my God, the power. It's like, I want real life relationships to be affected by this one small decision in my job.
Yeah. What if this was like the end of their relationship? We don't know.
The brother like stops speaking to her.
I think Kathy killed him.
He starts like really secluding himself.
We should do a documentary and reunite them.
He opens his magazine up and sees her art and just like the spirit jumps out of his body.
We can end with like a beautiful shot of them holding hands to a sunset, like the photo.
Just like the Mario Paint photo.
Only now Hawaii is in flames.
Oh, yeah. Hopefully they made it before that and got
to
out.
To
be continued.
I also want to say her beautiful sunset Mario Paint picture is great. I love it.
That's really great. I was intimidated by the art on this page.
I think I have a really compressed version. I can't really tell, but I think it looks good.
Do you think...
I think that's part of the trick.
Making your siblings feel like idiots is a good motivation for art?
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. Why else are we making it?
Stephen King himself said, art exists to support life, not the other way around. And I think dunking on your siblings is part of being
part
alive.
Of life. Yeah. Part of being alive.
I want to give a shout out to Kyle Milner of Warren, Texas.
Yeah.
Who puts out the question about the SNES controller. Why did you put the X and Y buttons on the SNES pad instead of C or D or something else?
Because it goes A, B, C, D.
Yeah. I think that's actually...
I think it's cool.
I think it's a good question.
Yeah, I'm glad I know this now.
And they're making up some nonsense about how CAD works. And they're like, yes, we understand that has nothing to do with video games, but trust us.
Yeah, well, it's like the engineers are like the same engineers who worked on the video games. So this is like carry over from their terminology as engineers into the video game world. I think that's kind of cool.
I actually really like it. I think it's superior to, say, the Genesis controller, ABC. That doesn't make sense to me.
I had a, when I got my Super Nintendo, it was from a pawn shop and it had a third party controller. So it was like B and A buttons on the bottom, but L and H buttons on the top.
Yeah. Can I, did you ask them what those came from?
Can I also throw a question out there? Why does grading system skip E? A, B, C, D, F.
Oh, you mean right? like why does 50 through A, like 50 wait, through 69 is F, right? Yeah,
wait, what do you mean? I got a lot of E's on papers in school.
I think that means excellent.
Were you going to crazy school?
I always thought the reason why is it's A, B, C, D. And then for an F, it's actually supposed to be E, F for fail.
Oh, you get both of them at once.
If you wanted to really zing in, like, you know,
your brother.
Zing your brother. Yeah. Your brother? Okay. You could not give him an F, give him a Z.
Is that even worse?
You got way down. Yeah. And you're zinging. That's the, you get the double there.
Point him and say, "Zake that, Kyle."
Yep.
Yeah.
Ha ha.
Other point of editor power here. Do you feel any pressure to punch up these Zelda jokes when you decide you're going to print them?
Yeah. So we got
this
a
kid's
trio.
Gonna fucking bomb, man.
And it's like, oh man. It's like I can save him. I can make him look so much better.
Well, yeah. I'm glad you brought this up. Alex Fernandez of Victorville, California, which is in the Central Valley of our great state of California, has some Zelda jokes that he sent in.
Let's hear them.
Oh, yeah, you want to take the first one here?
Sure, again? Sure. How did Link win the basketball game for his team?
I don't know!
He used his hookshot.
Hey. Okay. You have a bit of...
What?
Oh, you have the hookshot sound.
Big money.
No, it's not bad. Big money, that's where it is. Big money.
Yeah, no, I don't know.
Here's the thing. It's interesting to revisit this joke so many Zelda games later, because if you didn't have the prompt, you didn't have the context of the specific magazine, someone said, how did Link win the basketball game for his team? I'd be like, well, he probably stopped time
on the ball. That's what I was thinking, yeah.
You know, I'm like, right. Like, he's the ultimate goaltender because he's just rebuilding the goal into a just, mech.
He used Daru's flame. And,
yeah,
he built an elaborate... you know, basketball device using Zonai charges.
He gets the Ascend tool to just go straight up through the hoop every time somebody shoots and just spikes it down.
Well, I mean, honestly, he could throw the basketball through the hoop, then use the time ability to go back up and then drop it. Then use the time ability, then drop it. Then use the time ability, then drop it.
Keep him in the ground. And then just imagine him just, you know, just gloating over his defender afterwards, after he just Looney Tunes style scored 50 points. And just like,
yeah. Oh. And then in the game, someone's like, Link, how did you win the basketball game? And if it's, you know, Tears of the Kingdom, he would go, and they would go, oh you can't see what I'm doing. I'm just sort of gesturing like Link.
That's very good. It did make me start to think about, like, because I remember when Brett showed us, when he brought over Tears of the Kingdom for the first time, he was talking about the way that the culture changes between the two games, and you see these cities and communities develop and everything between your two plays. I was like, what are sports like in Hyrule?
Yeah.
Link is running around building actual rockets and monster trucks, and he's never put up a hoop for the kids or anything. Like,
there's building materials literally everywhere.
Everywhere. We can't buy a goal. You know, we can't just like hang a net somewhere for the kids in the park.
Jimmy Carter wanted to come build homes with Link, but Link didn't allow his visa to go through, so he couldn't.
Wow, Link controls immigration.
You should get Link. All those Republicans want to build a wall. Get Link to build a wall.
Get Link.
You do it. Oh, we can't find the money for it. I think Link can do it. For free.
He's got a couple.
Hold
of
on, I have these blueprints memorized.
But what I love is that Zelda is still relevant in July of 1993, and it's still relevant today.
Yeah,
I literally have the strategy guide of Tears of the Kingdom on my desk at home.
Ooh,
yeah, that's awesome. Because you were getting stuck.
Yeah. I don't like to go on YouTube to figure out how to do everything. So I wanted to have a book like old times.
It's also nice to have the physical totem to represent your time with the game.
Is it a thick book?
It's a very thick book.
Yeah.
And it might be because I'm pushing 40. I almost need reading glasses because the print is so small.
Oh, yeah. It's its own.
Some of those bifocal contacts that you... are definitely real.
Yeah, I'll be dead soon.
Yeah, who's ever dying? Zelda. Royal Rumble.
Wait a minute. We didn't talk about what we're actually going to talk about and skip. Did anybody want to talk about Royal Rumble?
I do, yes.
Oh, yeah. I
actually do. You could battle the ref in the game.
Which should exist in more games.
Every time the ref comes out, you can beat him up.
There should be more in-game moderators, referees. It's like fucking with your DM when you play D&D.
Yeah.
It's like having the ref out on the court for, I don't know, maybe Link's playing basketball. I don't know where I could get that or anything. And you're stopping time on the ref, so then you can get all your fouls in or whatever.
Yeah, there you go.
You freeze that ref, you just hit him over and over, and the arrow gets bigger and bigger. Man. And when time releases, he just shoots off to the ceiling.
Someone is not familiar with the new powers, but...
what is new powers?
He's talking about, I haven't played Tears of the
Kingdom.
That
was a Breath of the Wild.
Oh, sorry.
Wild
I didn't reference. Know what they were called, new powers. Sorry.
No, I don't have a Switch.
Well, you've got the bag. You got the strategy book, so you probably have better terminology than I do.
I could tell you rupees are a unit of currency.
Oh, yeah, nice. Okay, you can eat, that you catches can us up.
Cook food to replenish your hearts. Anyway, I could go on.
This rattling the sounds an awful lot like the old game that I played.
What?
WWF you know, Royal Rumble?
I owned this game.
You owned this game.
Yeah, it was awful.
And you're the one who did not want to talk about it.
I don't want to talk about it. It's boring.
I'm glad you said that.
Did you get the ref?
The promise is there, though.
I'm glad you said you don't like this, because I have just sort of a general issue with wrestling and people who like wrestling.
Ooh.
Really?
Oh. I don't even think it's a theory. I think it's fact as far as I'm concerned. People who like wrestling have problems, in my opinion.
And they're working them out in the ring, or watching them get worked out in the ring?
What's the problem?
I think people...
So we are doing an issues episode.
This is an important issue as far as I'm concerned. People who were like watching WWF in 1993 have serious problems.
Wait, what are the problems? Just aggression?
Okay, I want to hear
sort
this.
Of like,
we're going to get letters in on this one.
We are opening the floodgates.
Yeah, Kathy, don't send us any more letters.
Listener is getting out their e-ink tablet.
I didn't know this was
going to
be
like
such
crazy
a controversial episode.
No, I think people who like wrestling are like
deviants?
White trash pieces of shit.
Psychopaths.
Whoa! That's a little mean. I will say, 90s wrestlers, like the pre-Attitude Era people, like... I cannot get over how funny it is that one of these guys, Ted DiBiase, is the Million Dollar Man. Like,
okay,
it's
let's talk about the Million Dollar Man for a second.
Let's do it.
Well, let's.
Do you know these characters?
No, I know.
He's a millionaire who buys wins in wrestling.
But in the game, his power, Million Dollar Man's Million Dollar Dream Sleeper Hold. According to Nintendo Power here. You stun the opponent, which is a mystery to how that gets done in this moment. And then he just does a normal sleeper hold. What makes it $1 million? I would see if he flashes the money at them to stun him then sleeper hold.
I know. That's the thing. I feel like because, you know, maybe I'm a white trash piece of shit because I like wrestling a little bit.
Well.
Interesting. Interesting.
Oh yeah, I was wondering what that smell was.
Oh my god.
He came in here wearing a barrel with suspenders.
I'm just scrubbing my back with a brush.
As a rag on a stick.
Yeah, I'm a fucking piece of shit.
Hair real slicked back.
I have problems too. I like things that are shitty.
Where'd your beef start with wrestling?
Okay. Well, I've talked about on previous episodes, I had a neighbor down the street named Nick. They were a Sega household, which should tell you everything you need to know about this person.
What does that mean?
People who
are trash piece of shit.
White trash piece of shit.
Oh my god.
They had a Master System, get this, a Master System and a Genesis. You know, it was fun to go over there and play Genesis, but he and his older brother gave me a swirly once.
I remember this story. Yeah.
And so, and they were like, would like drink beer and like work on the car. And I'm just like, fuck me.
How old were they?
It was like in high school, and I was like in fifth grade or something.
All right. That was mean what they did to you.
It was mean. And really what triggers me specifically is that this guy, Nick, has had a poster, this literally the same image of Bret Hart, a wrestler in this game whose special move, incidentally, is the sharpshooter.
So you opened up to this page and you just immediately got thrown back into that toilet head first.
Yes, exactly.
Dang. That's gonna make it hard for me to really want to talk about Chuck the Chair, which is a headline in this feature that I read and I went, that's a character in this game, Chuck the Chair. And then my brain started inventing an entire game where all of the objects that they use and abuse in the ring team up and serve their revenge on the wrestlers.
I was used and abused when they gave me a swirly.
I actually met the narcissist at a coffee shop one time.
Are you serious?
Yes.
And?
Are you talking about?
Quite pleasant.
You mean you met Christopher Nolan?
It's all a work. He thought it was really funny that they wanted him to be the narcissist because he's like, I just really like people. I don't think that highly of myself, though.
Oh, so he has self-esteem issues.
Yeah, we talked about it.
A narcissist couldn't, doesn't need to necessarily have high self-esteem, right?
That's true.
Who do you think?
That would be a bad combination, to be honest.
Yeah.
I got to be honest.
That's why he fights.
I do remember a bunch of these guys, but I remember liking Ric Flair because he was smart.
You mean Nature Boy, Ric Flair?
Yeah. I don't know why they call him Nature Boy, though.
Because he's a strategist in the ring.
Well,
that doesn't make what?
No, well, I'm just reading the cop.
I mean, I don't think I'm off base here when I say that he's considered by many to be the craftiest man in the sport.
That's just what the magazine says. This is also an era of wrestling where they still have some leftover kind of what do you want to call Yokozuna and Tatanka?
Oh, racial tropes.
Racial trope wrestlers. Yeah.
Extremely problematic races.
Yeah, they couldn't have a Soviet Union guy anymore who comes out and sings the Soviet national anthem in 1993.
Yeah.
But they could definitely have the American Indian and Japanese sumo wrestler.
I just also would love to. You're going up against the Undertaker. You're going up against Razor Ramon, and your name's just Crush.
I love Crush. Awesome. Crush might be my favorite.
Crush. What's Royal Rumble with 12 different wrestlers. How is this a bad game, Weston?
Yeah, that's crazy. And you can fight the ref, dude.
I played it earlier. I sampled it. And I felt if I were some sort of piece of shit, white trash person, I would love this. But I kind of liked it. For LJN, which is a famously horrible company, it was good.
Maybe there's a little bit of white trash piece of shit
in all of us.
Yeah.
I grew up on the same street as these white trash people. So what were you saying, Ethan?
I think we're starting to heal you.
You can take the white boy out of the trash, but you can't take the trash out of the boy.
That's right.
I can't
talk about wrestling without mentioning Daniel Warren Johnson's brilliant Do a Power Bomb graphic novel. Because here's my take on wrestling.
Okay.
That I grew up with it. On TV or whatever, being I don't know, not for me.
Yeah.
Very shiny. Everybody's shiny. This is hard to figure out.
Mm-hmm.
Daniel Warren Johnson is an incredible artist and writer in the comic space. It made me think about wrestling twice. So maybe, Andy, this is a way to heal.
White trash piece of shit?
Oh totally. For sure, but he write good.
Important.
Was it the aspect that wrestling is very theatrical? Was that
it's the thing that as someone on the outside of it trying to understand where the appeal is for people, is the big personalities and the theatricality and the larger than life aspects of it.
Yeah.
But Do a Powerbomb is this, it's just a brilliantly told story that I think proves a thing that I always try to live by, that it's it doesn't matter if I'm interested in it. If you're interested in it enough to want to share that, then I'll listen.
For context, this is a comic about wrestlers.
It's about a tag team wrestling tournament that the winner gets to bring someone back to life.
That sounds cool as shit.
It's cool as shit.
That
guys.
Sounds awesome.
Maybe I'm wrong about wrestling.
Hey, yeah. Maybe we're all wrong about wrestling. Now let's get this fucker in the tournament.
Maybe people who like wrestling are rich.
The million dollar
Donald
man.
Trump yeah, went
very
on
very nice
the show.
Donald Trump wrestled in that one. All right, this is my section. We're talking about Run Saber, which might be
That's a skip for me.
This is a
what'd you say?
That's a skip for me.
I just want to say Run Saber is probably a top 5 SNES game for me.
Oh really?
This game is incredible. It's so fun.
Is this SNES or NES?
SNES.
SNES.
It's the teal color. They explain this in the issue.
Oh.
Yeah, it's the
I didn't read any of this.
This game is extremely fun. It's kind of Strider adjacent controls. You have a super agile character that does all these moves. They have lightsabers, they fight really weird robots. There's fun mode 7 bosses. This game is awesome. The only problem with it is it's only 6 levels.
Oh, that's not the only problem with it.
Wait, what's the other problem?
I mean, first off, world building, there's a character that's just a cylinder mutant. Its camouflage is that it lives an industrial tube for 90% of its life until its prey comes near. Can you imagine just being a cylinder your whole life? A cylinder. Not for me. I was like, what is the menagerie of enemy types? It's cool, thinking of a variety. I'm like, wait, okay. I'm fighting a cylinder. I think I can get my head wrapped around that. It's we're taking down the factory.
But you bust him out of the cylinder and he's just a guy.
And now he's just a dude?
Yeah.
Okay, then we have the Wicked Witch.
That boss is awesome.
And then we have the Hawk of Doom.
Yeah. And now you fight an airplane at one point, like in mid-flight, like that's a fighter jet.
You also fight a character named Southern Jambalaya.
Yeah. And they spelled Southern wrong.
And this is a mutant parasite has taken over and is controlling the underground railroad. Sorry, the underground transport robot.
Mm. Look, it's just like, you know, you can't say this stuff didn't happen or couldn't happen.
And how are we going to get exposed to it?
It takes place in the future. Who's to say none of this is real?
Does this one end as a dream? Like in Link's Awakening?
No, it really happened.
All of it's real. Yeah, all of it's
every video game ends with them waking up.
I played it earlier, and I had, somehow this had eluded me. It was like, it's like, it reminded me of Mega Man Zero.
Yeah, sick.
Mega Man Zero.
I'm in.
You know, and you just you have the saber. Sword. Yeah. It doesn't disappoint on its premise. Yeah. You run around with the saber.
Okay.
Run saber.
I like Mega Man, so.
You run saber.
Yeah. It's a unsung great SNES game.
Yeah, cool. I mean,
I'll stand by that.
It seems like Nintendo Power thought so, too.
Does it have good play control?
It has great play control.
Say no more.
You fucking weirdos at Nintendo of America.
Is this one of your criteria?
Play control, that's the number one thing for me.
I'm a theme and fun guy myself.
The first level just quickly reminded me of the terrifying world of the Charlie Sheen The Arrival film.
Oh,
my gosh.
Oh, yeah.
Because you're fighting uniformed aliens in an underground base. Where have I seen this before? The Arrival.
Wow. Mm.
Think about it.
Mm.
And in Arrival, there's all those cylinder mutants.
That's right.
Some of the aliens have reverse joint legs.
Do you think the cylinder mutants, when they're getting out of the cylinder, that's them like waking up from a dream?
Charlie Sheen's The Arrival.
Yes, yeah. They're like, oh my God, I was a thief.
You know, we're experiencing a lot of climate change in our world, arguably, right?
Arguably.
But humans don't cause it.
No, it's just in the game, the aliens are building these giant CO2 factories to warm the atmosphere for the aliens. Do we think that could actually be going on?
How did you guys learn? How did you learn about the story of Run Saber? Because as somebody who's loved this game for like almost 30 years now,
I'm sorry, you said how did we learn or how did we live the story?
All right, you know what? I can't, like...
Because I was in here. I was in here for all of it. Skeletor the Dragon.
I actually feel kind of bad for Weston because we just talked up the wrestling game he didn't want to talk about. We got to the game that's true and dear to his heart and we just fucking shit on it.
No, I'm just saying...
I'm genuinely not shitting on it.
No, I played it for 2 minutes. It reminded me of The Rival. That's all.
Worst 2 minutes of my life.
It's just a wild trip. I mean, it's so much. It feels like they're like, we got 6 levels. We got to shoot our shot. And I got to respect that for Run Saber. But I can't read it without going, Run Saber, run.
Well, see, you think Forrest Gump. I think they're right.
But you wanted me to give a button to that?
Yeah. Say how much you love it.
Yeah, please.
Run Saber's super fun. The jet fighter flips around a lot with you hanging on to it, and then parts of the jet fighter bulge and become monsters that you blow up.
That's kind
of
cool.
It's fucking dope.
You want to say anything else cool about the game? Give it your time.
I'm looking forward to playing it once you guys leave my home.
And you're saying the jet is built of cylinder mutants.
It's a more cylinder mutant than a jet, if you will.
All right, this is it for me.
This game is so cool.
I'm excited to talk about this one.
Evo.
This is kind of like if you've ever played the game Spore.
Spore Zero.
Kind of like Spore Zero. It's the game before it. You start off as like a little cell in the ocean, and you slowly mutate and become like a land animal, and like you're going through evolution throughout the game, and you're like getting to choose how your creature evolves as you get farther in it, to the point where you eventually evolve into like a human, I think.
Or a superhuman.
Or like a superhuman, yeah.
It hints at that, but doesn't go into any detail. Yeah. This magazine feature.
Yeah, it says you could have razor blade teeth or something.
Humans, wait, we could have those?
Well, according to this issue.
Yeah. Did you guys play this game? Did you try it?
No, I just thought it looked cool.
I have not.
I played it for like 6 hours, and then I woke up and I had never played it at all.
That's crazy.
I don't like this game because the premise of the game... My youth pastor told me not to play this game.
No. This came up with your youth pastor?
Well, because this game deals with evolution. I don't think that's a secret.
Yeah.
Wait.
And so as a creationist, it's just like, oh, let me get this straight. an amoeba turns into a human being. Sorry, folks. I don't think that's how the world works.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let me see that game where it's 6,000 years ago and God makes
God snaps his fingers and you have dinosaurs and humans at the same time.
Wait, Andy, you didn't read the part where at the end of every level you go and like after the evolution you've gone, you like the end of the level, you reach God and you ask permission if it's okay to continue.
Wait, that's really a part of the game?
That's part of the game. Every time at the end of the level, you go and you, and it's like a conversational turn-based.
My youth pastor, Craig, never told me that.
Never told you that? Can we call him up?
And then they reveal the end.
Hey, I sleep on the pool table from the youth center where you used to go and learn about God.
Craig, you lied to me. But boy, you were dreamy with that acoustic guitar.
Hey,
man,
you know who's an awesome
Craig's
God?
It's corrupt.
Our God.
Yeah.
Yep.
Hey, we just learned a lot. I think we should keep it going.
I remember I remember at church, I remember we had like a guest pastor come in. He was just like, you know, if we came from gorillas, why are there still gorillas? And just the audience.
I had a very similar experience.
The booming audience after that.
Brett, have you ever really thought about that?
Yeah.
I want you to take, we'll think about it for an hour. We'll cut back to the show. All right. Let's think about it for an hour and cut. And we're back.
And we're back. I've been turned. I don't believe in evolution anymore. I think Evo's bullshit. Except for the God parts.
Like the God parts of Evo.
I like the God parts. I hate everything else.
Also, Evo is E.V.O. But
evolution for
voluntary.
Voluntary
operations.
Everyone's favorite game. Evolutionary voluntary operations.
It's like you got
it is voluntary to play the game.
Oh. Well.
I'm not just...
You know, it's not voluntary. Believing in the one true God.
Oh, wait, we're skipping Bubsy.
Are we?
No, it's after Edutainment.
Oh, sorry.
Fuck. Don't worry, we'll get to Bubsy. Yeah. Surprisingly, few things skipped in this first part of the magazine. We have stuff to say about everything. We're here at a education plus entertainment feature where it's just... You know, like how they'll bundle together a bunch of sports games so you can't tell them apart? Well, all the edutainment games together here are now one big feature. And weirdly enough, a lot of cool games in here.
I like the idea of edutainment, but the word edutainment...
Deeply offensive. Yeah.
Immediately puts me off.
How dare
also, maybe
you?
Maybe I watch too much Tim and Eric. I go straight to nude tane.
We got... What do we got here? Miracle Piano Teaching System. We talked about that before. We got cool. Mario is Missing, unfortunately. But we also have Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego?
Which, yeah. You know, I heard good things about that.
That game's great.
Right?
I just think, you know, in their 50th issue, this is one of the big features. Like, this is like a tentpole issue.
Yeah. I know you're trying to dunk on this, but SimCity is in here. As is Mario Paint.
I like both of those games, but edutainment.
Edutainment as a concept. I think this is the parents who, you know, let your kid get the Nintendo Power magazine so they shut the hell up.
It's that's smart.
Some of this is smart. Some of this is going to teach them stuff.
This is they probably did this to get some senators off their back.
Yeah.
Yes.
Counting Aerobiz as an edutainment game, I think, is pretty rich.
Well, yeah. they even say in the copy, like, we realize this is not an educational game, but it might as well be.
Hey, guys, Caesar's Palace is edutainment.
Which is funny because Mario Paint, they're like, this arguably cannot be called a game. In the copy. I'm like, damn.
It does. It says that right
it
here.
Does, it, the fly swatting game is like one of the all-time great games.
I learned a lot from that about swatting flies.
Do you guys feel like video games are a valid form of education?
Yes.
Yes.
Play Celeste and tell me that you're not learning shit.
Yeah.
Are you joking?
No, I'm not.
What are you learning?
Oh my gosh. I think, have you all played Celeste?
I played a little bit of it. I'm curious.
Yeah, it's like a touching story.
Yeah. Celeste is a game. If you haven't played Celeste, please. This is my two recommendations so far. Do a Powerbomb by Danny Warren Johnson and
play Celeste.
Yeah. And Celeste from Matt Makes Games. Celeste is one of the games that perfectly weaves gameplay design and player control.
I know that's important to Brett.
I know that.
I'm sold.
with the thematic element. And it's like, I know people who have like really struggled with depression who have played through Celeste, and the experience of having to forgive themselves in trying over and over again to achieve something that is actually very challenging, like helps them bring that back into their real life.
I'd call that not just edutainment, but entertainment.
Yeah.
Yeah. Video games can be beautiful. I also know someone who played SimCity is now a city person.
Now a city person.
I hung out with a planetary scientist friend who works at JPL yesterday, and his favorite game, Kerbal Space Program.
Which is an example. I think video games are like a good place to explore. Like, Little Big Planet taught me to be creative.
Yeah.
That's
what about Metroid Prime? I think Metroid Prime is a game that, like, with the kind of encyclopedic indexing of that world, that was the first game I remember being like, I'm curious about everything on this planet.
Yeah.
And then it's like, if that teaches you that, and then you can just go out to your own park. Of
like a lot of games that I like have philosophy and ethics.
Well, Metroid Prime.
Outer Wilds, of course, is probably one of the best like stories I've ever experienced. Oh, but the Golden City is a whole game about questioning ethics and the Golden Rule and wondering if that's...
This is like an issue. This is an issue.
I think this is an issue episode. This is an issues episode.
And arguably deeper than my assertion that wrestling is for white trash.
I think they're about the same level. Before we move on really quick, I this character that's following entertainment or edutainment
is a teacher. Let's call her a hot teacher.
There's like comic panels, so it's like a 28-year-old early 90s teacher.
And let's keep it at that.
I wrote down she's a hot teacher.
She's Andy's type. All we know. She's Andy's type.
She has bangs. She has a bob like Scully.
Is this supposed...
You know that she's getting fucked after class.
I'm trying to think of what this, like, these single panel comics are like supposed to give the reader and being like, oh, wait, I know the answer to this. I have to pick up laptop investigations. Oh, wait. And the question is SimCity? Because I read in one panel, he exchanged his dollars for pounds. Where could he be?
Yeah. I know the answer to this, but would a child?
I think most children know this, unless you're a really stupid child.
Yeah, you take your money, you exchange it for a quarter pounder at McDonald's,
you exchange
right?
it for weights.
I actually wouldn't know the answer.
He exchanged his dollar for gains.
Yeah.
You know how you were, you're like recommending things? The comic book and Celeste?
We got to do a third one to round it out.
Can I recommend something from my favorite filmmaker, Nolan?
Sure.
Sure. Narcissist piece of shit, no.
Anyway.
White trash.
Rude much? Wow. It's called The Dark Knight, and it's really cool because a guy gets killed with a pencil through his head.
Have you guys seen The Dark Knight?
What's the poll for that? Where'd that come from? Walk us back to the top of that, Andy. I want to know.
You were recommending things, and I waited for an opening to recommend something.
You're just always on the precipice of recommending The Dark Knight.
Since you started talking about that hot teacher, your mind's been all over the place.
You are, man. And you are so sweaty right now.
Why do they... Why do you call him Nolan?
To save time.
Are you freaking dying?
I am very sweaty right now. I changed my medication recently.
and I'm just driving it home.
We can take a break in a second here also.
Do we want to do Bubsy first or do a break?
Mm. Do Bubsy.
Let's talk about...
We're on Bubsy the Cat. Legendary,
Bubsy the Bobcat.
Legendary educational video game where you're a bobcat and then you're jumping around.
And everything in the game is exactly accurate to real bobcat life.
Andy, you mentioned you want to talk about this.
Yeah, I want to talk about it, and this is an issue that's close to my heart. Okay, so there's a lot of wisecracking cats out there.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think I'm Heathcliff, Garfield,
Sylvester,
maybe even Felix.
Felix the cat.
We don't know.
Shit.
And now there's another one.
Yeah.
Okay, but Andy, what? But Bubsy stands out from the rest.
In what way?
I'm sorry. Bubsy has a long sleeve t-shirt with an exclamation point in the middle of it.
Yeah.
And no
That's
pants.
Attitude.
To me, it's like he's like a slender Garfield.
Who would have thought of that?
Does Garfield Garfield glide?
This is I played it earlier today. Yes. I played so many of the games from this issue And you can send me.
And you're just raring to go, sweaty.
I know that's why I'm sweaty. This is like a bad version of Sonic.
This is a bad
with version. With a ripoff wisecracking cat.
Well, Bubsy is trying to like be Mario plus Sonic.
I just want to.
He's a mascot character.
I just want to paint when you start a level. Bubsy says, "What could possibly go wrong?"
God, I hate
and then you immediately try to answer that for him. You're just like, well, Bubsy, I could throw you in this fucking hole.
I don't know.
It forever.
Heathcliff, Garfield.
Andy, Bubsy was awarded the most hype for a character in 1993 by Electronic Game Monthly.
Where does it say that?
Oh, I did research on Bubsy.
Hold on.
You did extra homework for this podcast and you're not even sweaty?
Oh. Cool as a goddamn cucumber.
It's true.
I have no sweat because I did not prepare at all.
It's levels of prep.
I just want to take this opportunity to say, don't play Bubsy the Bobcat. Listener, go play Bubsy Visits the James Turrell Retrospective, that indie game where he goes to that museum.
What are they in the game?
So that's a seventh Bubsy game? Because the sixth Bubsy game was released in 2019.
It would have actually been before that one because this is like 2013.
So that's... I mean, Bubsy has left his mark on this industry.
Taco
Bell sponsored an animated pilot for Bubsy in 1993.
Gross.
Really? I did too much research. Thank you, Wikipedia.
Who's funnier, Gex? Bubsy.
Gex's shtick funny, though?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because like, look at the tongue, baby.
I think Gex, and I think cool as shit.
They're re-releasing Gex. Yeah.
I can't wait.
No way.
I have to go.
Is this a room full of Gex fans?
I would love.
Do we stand? I
would love Bubsy and Gex. For Bubsy has Gex in a backpack, like Banjo-Kazooie.
Oh,
that's great.
That's the pairing.
See, that's interesting.
But he's like the same size as Bubsy, so like Bubsy's just kind of stumbling, and Gex is like the same as big as him, but you know, with a backpack.
And there are unskippable cutscenes where they just do 30 minutes of material at you.
Yeah, they're like talking past each other.
It out. Sure.
Really, really weird material that doesn't mesh at all.
I get that vibe from Bubsy. I get that vibe because I have not, although Bubsy has floated around my consciousness as long as I've been playing video games. Yeah. This is my first time engaging with Bubsy. Two pages into this feature, I'm like, can this cat open both eyes at once? It's unclear.
It's not, I don't think it's possible.
It seems by the time we get to the end of the feature, only if he's pissed off. But here's the little tip that Nintendo Power gives you in the copy. Chapter 3. You know, if Bubsy does happen to get wet, this is, you know, we have a water level, finally reaching the water level. He won't feel like continuing. That doesn't say he'll die. Does that just mean that if you fall into the water that Bubsy just like looks at you and is like,
let me educate you. I have a cat.
Okay.
This is where you're.
My cat's
a bobcat?
Would you recommend cats?
I would.
You have space to do it right now.
Not a bobcat. I recommend my cat Oreo.
Oreo,
Nolan's
the best.
Dark Knight, and Oreo are my recommendations.
The theme.
You gotta have a third one to round them out.
Try putting a cat in a bathtub; they're not gonna want to continue with the bath.
That's your recommendation.
I'm trying to enlighten you on why Bubsy might not want to continue.
Okay.
When Bubsy jumps on an enemy, there's a little cloud with a bunch of like claws and paws and stuff because he's like fighting so fast. He's just a cloud of dust.
I think it's a horrible Sonic ripoff because it tries to go really fast.
Hey Brett, on page 35, we're at chapter 4.
Brett, what does it feel like to be a guest on our own podcast?
Chapter 14, what's up with this turtle?
Let me find the turtle.
What's going on? Because
the turtle's wearing snorkels. Is that the big thing?
And turtles don't need snorkels.
And it has one eye.
Is this like an Illuminati thing?
This turtle looks sick. This turtle looks unwell.
Yeah, this is the same turtle you can find on the back of the dollar bill when you fold it up.
What if it's the final boss?
This is the final boss.
This is the final boss, I think.
What would the fight between Bubsy and this turtle look like?
Probably be, you know, it'd be funny.
What if, like,
the turtle's underwater.
It unzips, and under it is Bubsy's brother.
Yeah, the turtle pulls off his Mission Impossible mask, and underneath, it's another Bubsy.
That's good.
My last little blurb, because this is a big feature for Bubsy. If you were reading this for the first time, you'd be like, oh my gosh, Bubsy's going to be huge.
I don't know. I remember being excited when this issue came, and I did not care about Bubsy.
Bubsy's going to be here for 26 more years at least. And on chapter 12, down the river again, Bubsy asks, is there a veterinarian in the audience?
See, that's kind of like Gex. That's what Gex would do.
Yeah.
But then
look at the tongue, baby.
But then the feature asks, what possesses a bobcat to put himself through this kind of torture?
Mystery van. That's another Gex line.
It's another Gex line.
Yeah.
Gex watch Scooby. I love the idea that as it gets towards the end of this game, Bubsy gets like super existential.
Yeah.
And like, why am I doing this? Wait a minute.
Again, I just don't play this game. Just go play Bubsy Visits the James Turrell Retrospective, wherein Bubsy does question his existence.
Hell yes.
Does that actually happen?
Yeah. I mean, it's not an official Bubsy game. It's like a little indie thing.
Hmm.
This is like the Serial Experiments Lane Tony Hawk game.
Nice.
Where Lane is like skateboarding.
Hey guys, get this. A wisecracking cat.
Starfield.
Bubsy.
All right. And on the other side of this Bubsy feature is the
centerfold.
And hey, this is a really cool centerfold poster that's got all of the Nintendo Power volume covers to date, except for the... No, it even has the strategy guides. So they're all here. The whole gang is here.
50?
All 50.
48 episodes, 50 volumes.
Yeah.
And Weston, when you saw these, were you like, oh my God, we really did it? We really read all of this?
This made me feel...
Well, we didn't do the strategy guides. But yeah, the other 44 or so.
Not all those.
Yeah.
This strategy is not correct.
I don't really have anything to say.
I have a fun thing.
Okay, yeah.
This is a really fun game. You know, you've seen like Jimmy Fallon or other talk shows where they play fun games.
Yeah,
this is kind of like that, or like James Corden, like a fun game.
Okay,
you're really good hosting this show. Yeah, no. it's Andy and I.
This is so funny.
the game who's sweatiest.
Fuck. Rich May Mitke. Okay, I'm going to point to one of these covers in the centerfold, and then I want you guys are the experts, right?
Ooh, yeah. I like this.
All and right. I want to say anything from that episode or right. issue. Like, what is a thing you remember from it?
Oh. Yes, summarize the issue.
Fun.
Behind that.
That's right.
Volume.
Okay, I'm pointing to, I don't know what issue it is, but a Super Mario World on the cover. What's Super something Mario from World, that that Mario. Issue?
Which one is that? I can't. Okay,
listeners, can you get to this first?
We had Jason on for that episode. I remember when we talked about Mario World. We were talking about
Jason Addis.
Yeah, I didn't ask about a guest.
I don't know.
So it can't be about a guest. I mean, that is the one with the. I remember that issue for the Howard and Nestor comic with the reverse voyeur Superman.
Yeah, that's reverse voyeur Superman.
Reverse voyeur?
Yeah.
We couldn't. So the actual term is exhibitionist, but we couldn't remember it. So I kept calling him a reverse voyeur.
Okay, got it.
So instead of watching people, he wants to be watched.
Got it. So it's Superman, but he's like, come on.
Yeah, because he's in a phone booth, and Nestor is trying to get to a phone booth for some reason, and he's like, oh, excuse me.
They're all creepy.
He's like, clothed, half disrobed.
Yeah, how old's Nestor?
Depending on the issue, between the ages of like 10 and like 30.
Yeah, we...
And this issue?
Young. Like,
really young.
Well...
And that's Super Mario World, everybody.
Yeah. Super... Ding, 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 ding.
You did it.
I'm up for one more if you want to do it.
Let's do one more.
Yeah, let's go.
Why don't you pick one,
Ethan? Can I pick one? Thank you. How about...
Have the co-host pick one.
Yeah, this is how we put it. This is what was in the outline.
We stayed up all night.
Yeah, we stayed up all night for this.
Sweating together.
This is just like
I went and took a shower, Andy. We talked about that. That was part of the outline.
I've been told that my sweat smells good.
By your wife?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pheromones. Felix the cat. I'm looking at Felix the cat here.
I'm glad you mentioned Felix the cat. This is another funny cat.
Another funny cat. We got to keep the theme going. What's something we remember from the Felix the cat?
I see the cover
volume.
It has Felix on the cover. Oh.
Man, I don't actually remember anything from this.
Felix the cat, forgettable.
I remember. I kind of remember like saying Felix the cat like a lot. It's kind of fun to say.
Hey, it could come up. I can see reasons
the
for
cat.
That.
Felix.
I don't think you read that issue.
This is the one. We found the one that he didn't read, but he came in to record, and he was like, Weston, you're going to have to pull a lot of the way.
Here's what I got. It's fun to say Felix the cat.
Can we work with that?
All right, so we know that's issue 40, so it would have been our episode 27. So if I go look
that's
at
the
my...
The math checks out on that.
Yeah.
So if I look at...
13 different volume
40. I've got...
Issue 40, Nintendo Power 27.
Volume 40.
I'm just looking at my notes from that one. Little Samson was in this one.
Over the cover, I said, old black and white cartoons are aesthetically fun.
Hey.
Yeah, wasn't Felix like from the 40s or something?
I just remember one. There was a Felix the Cat movie that
this
I
is,
watched.
Brett, this
a lot
is
as a
one
kid
of them where Nestor was flying a plane that he crashes because it was a Wings Aces High Nestor comic.
Yeah.
You know, I think
this is actually a pretty unforgettable volume.
Celeb profile was Tim Allen. Tim the Tool Man Taylor.
In this issue,
Man of a certain age. Tim Allen.
Was in that profile?
Yeah.
Well, it was a fun game.
The contest was to hang out with Will Smith. I'm just reading my notes.
Super Mario Adventures comic book, and I said it was funny when Mario's butt got bitten.
I can see that.
Hey, you're listening to the Now You're Playing With podcast, the podcast.
Are you ready?
This is the Beer Break, brought to you by Howard and Nestor.
Hey, I'm Nestor. Glub up that beer, my friend.
Here we go!
All right, let's get back to the guys.
Hey, we're back.
Hey, we're back.
Hey, what's up?
We were jamming out to a great song.
Hey, everybody, play Valhalla, the bartending simulator game. It's incredible.
I can't vouch for it, but I can vouch for the music.
The music is
fantastic.
Incredible.
And I can vouch for the idea of Valhalla. However you want to interpret it.
The warrior's post-grave.
Yeah, do you think that's a piece of is that the kind of the drinks you're mixing in that game? Drift so stiff that it's like being dead.
Well, so in the game, the actual name of the bar is VA-11 Hall A, and they call it Valhalla just because that's what it looks like.
Sounds a lot better.
Wait, Valhalla, is that the afterlife? Is that like
a Norse afterlife?
It's like a warrior's death. Yeah. It's like a warrior's paradise.
But the girl,
die in battle honorably, and you get to live on in Valhalla. Yeah.
Yeah, the girl is the main bartender character in Valhalla, the game. That's not really a warrior, per se.
I think anyone who's working in the service industry is a warrior.
Thank you for saying that.
Yeah.
Thank you for saying that.
Anyone who likes wrestling is a white trash.
Thank you.
Finish it.
No.
Hey, guys, we're here. It's time.
Nestor.
All right, we're here. It's Nestor's adventure.
It's Nestor's
what
adventures.
Are you up to this one?
Yeah, I'm done.
This one's a stinker.
They're all stinkers. This one I give it a negative 1,000.
Yeah, we used to rate them, and
What would you give it for theme and fun?
0, 0, 0.
And honestly, I would give it probably a 0 for player control, too.
Yeah.
I know that's important to Brett.
Player control is huge to me.
So
my only note, I wrote one note, and I wrote poison.
Nestor is on safari.
My one note is, boy, that's awful.
I wrote this for the Envelope Art Showcase, where I was like, man, 90s kids really love Taz.
They love Taz.
We all loved
for the listener, this is there was that Tasmanian devil game that's like third person over his shoulder. He's running on roads and eating kiwis. Yeah. This is based on that. And Nestor is on a safari with these two guys and looking for the Tasmanian devil. And one guy is always hungry, and one guy
is a big fat guy.
They're talking nonsense.
He looks like Dennis Nedry from Jurassic Park.
This is like Noah Baumbach level, like characters talking past each other. This is very realistic dialogue, but for a one page comic, you're like, the fuck? What's going on here?
Actually does have a Robert Altman quality.
There's a very realistic
and compare
to
this to Robert Altman.
I'm sorry. Do you think that Robert Altman can't bring Tasmanian devil into his work? What's going on here?
No, I'm saying this is a pale imitation of Altman.
Yes, but Altman they still imitate greatness, okay? And that's aspirational.
They're all talking past each other, and that was the great contribution of Altman towards 70s cinema.
Right? Is that we realize that conversation are just like multiple pieces of music flowing past each other.
And you can follow, it's like pick and choose. Every time you watch, it's a different experience.
Who's Altman?
He directed A Prairie Home Companion.
He directed The Long Goodbye. That's one of my favorite movies.
And he directed Looney Tunes Back in Action.
Wait, did he really?
No.
God damn it, Ethan.
I was just trying to get Taz back in here because I was trying to get more Taz in my life in 1993. I had a Tasmanian Devil binder for middle school.
Fun.
Taz was my favorite. I had a Taz dressed like Space Jam with his basketball jersey.
Oh, just with the jersey?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think ultimately the Warner Brothers Squad character that has withstood the test of time is Bugs Bunny.
Absolutely.
Yeah. We all love Bugs Bunny.
Bugs Bunny never attacks unless provoked. A true gentleman.
Funny.
Likes carrots.
Quick wit. Doesn't mind getting cooked a little bit if it means he gets that hot tub experience.
And yeah. He's gonna let that witch cut carrots into the pot.
Yeah, you take your time. Whereas Taz isn't going to... Here's the thing that's unrealistic to me about Nestor's adventure right here. Taz would not have the time of day for Nestor for two fucking birds. I feel like Nestor puts off a vibe that you're like, I got to give him some space.
I wouldn't even... If I were Taz, I wouldn't even eat Nestor.
Yeah. Well, he doesn't. That's the crazy thing.
He just hugs him.
Yeah.
He eats the two birds. He doesn't choose.
All right. We should. Okay. So this, they're looking for Taz, and then there's some argument as to whether or not he eats red or yellow birds. And then I guess he ate both.
It was yellow because of Tweety, right?
Then Taz says, Taz love dessert.
And he grabs Nestor. So he might eat Nestor.
Oh, he's maybe going to eat Nestor.
Yeah.
I thought it was just the classic, as I mean, Brett does this every time we eat dinner together, is that he like scarfs down the food and then he just gives me a hug.
Yeah.
Brett,
that's sweet.
I said, thank you.
Yeah, that's kind of what Taz I thought was doing here. Like,
you know what's crazy is Brett's microphone is yellow. Are you going to eat? Don't eat it.
Mine is red.
Oh my God.
Hey, Brett, do you think this one would be better if Nestor was driving the bus and crashed it?
It would be great. It'd be great. And I'm not going to eat the microphone. I know it's. Just to be clear.
It's tempting.
I mean, it looks delicious, but
I've tried once. And
this is it, guys. We are at...
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
All right, so this is the... Here. No, this is... Here's the Pikachu. You do this.
This is... we're at the big 50 issues. They're kind of like... It's a little retrospective on... Nintendo Power, and they've been talking about their journey through making 50 volumes of, and not issues, by the way, volumes of...
I mean, it says right here, 50 issues of Nintendo Power.
Right. And it starts...
Wait, it does break down. It starts off with Avarice is the first issue of Nintendo Power. It's greed. Interesting. Huh.
But it starts off in a very... It starts off in a very...
All right, we're all falling apart.
It starts off in a very, what would you call this, modest way. Nintendo of America brought forth a brilliant idea that has shone brightly over the videoscape like a beacon to all those confused masses of players in need of knowledge.
Yeah, it's very pretentious and up its own ass. It also talks about how this is like the first magazine that has no advertising.
When it is entirely advertising.
Yeah, it's literally an advertisement.
I did this last time I was on too, where I was like, I gotta stop on the fact that the first four pages of this magazine are one ad for the Nintendo Power Club.
Yeah.
That's like going to an IMAX movie and you have to sit through the like ad for IMAX. Right. Like, I'm already here.
This is,
like,
there's no other word for it. It's Orwellian. Because they're saying there's no, we don't have ads. It's
and it's all an ad.
They're asking us to deny the evidence of our own eyes.
Also, 50 issues of Nintendo Power, A View from Inside Out. No byline, as there's no bylines in this entire magazine, but this is a love letter to their boss.
Yeah, this is very clearly like somebody writing it while their boss looks
over their shoulder. Right there. I mean,
and
like,
they're probably going to get fired because they called it an issue.
I was really there is some deeply like some of the comments in here are very boss oriented. It's very much like work is play, we have the best jobs ever, and it's like
what Andy would continue reading of the you might wonder how any work gets done with all this playing going on. Work
them
justifying their own being like we do
work is play. War is peace.
Playing all these games for you is so hard.
Freedom is slavery. It's freedom is slavery. This is very... So I I am a patron of Jeff Gerstmann's, and he had one of the episodes that he did with Glenn Rubenstein, Game Boys to Men. They were games journalists in the 90s.
Okay.
And he describes seeing Howard Phillips in the early to mid 90s, the guy who, you know, one of the key people behind this, when he left, he was so burnt out from working at Nintendo. He went to LucasArts.
I mean, how could you not be burnt out working at Nintendo when their games counseling hours on the weekdays start at 4 a.m. Pacific time? Did you see that in the...
I missed that.
In the letter section, it's like, hey, here's our number for games counseling. And the shift is from 4 a.m. to midnight Monday through Friday. I don't know. That's not one shift.
That's not one shift.
But imagine taking the call at... Like, where did they decide to start at? 4:01 a.m. What gamer are you talking to?
You're talking to somebody on the East Coast.
But like, who's gaming at 7 a.m.?
Somebody who's like,
that's
like
still not a healthy conversation. 6:58,
6:59, 7!
Hello, Nintendo Power Game Counseling.
Hi, how do I have weapons in Kid Icarus?
You just walk into the weapon, dude.
How do I have weapons?
What, like, conceptually, you don't understand how he has weapons?
Mom!
I'm going to be the parents fighting in the background.
Yeah, it's like, what's going on here?
Honey, you don't respect me.
It's like, it's true. I don't respect
happening
you.
At 7 a.m.
The kids tried to
escape. I get why this kid is calling Nintendo Power.
Look, our kid can't even get weapons in fucking Kid Icarus or whatever it's called.
How does Metroid turn into a ball?
Oh, hey, buddy. How are you doing at school?
I'm a failure.
Metroid turn into a ball. Yeah.
Our kid can't even turn into a ball in Metroid. It's that's the first thing you do.
I'm fucking
leaving.
Yeah, I mean, and that's nowhere in the Nintendo Power milestones.
Those stories go unsung.
What I wanted to know reading A View from Inside Out is, do you agree with their awards and reflection? Best cover, worst cover?
Quest best cover, I don't think, is the best cover.
Yeah, it's bullshit.
It's a good cover.
I mean, it's, as they say, Mickey surrounded by all those flames.
Well,
hot.
Fire.
We had some immature humor about Mickey's fire hose spraying, what's it, Pete?
Oh, no. What? No, what?
You went there.
No. Oh no. Brett, why are you so sweaty?
I'm getting sweaty.
Just
actually.
Say it. What did Mickey do?
It looked like either piss or
it wasn't piss.
Or cum.
Is this a Buster Bust Loose situation?
Yeah. Or is it
Wesson, what do you think should be the best cover? Where did they go wrong?
That's a great question. Let me just.
Well, is there another character coming? Not a character.
I'm gonna say the best cover is the Star Trek 25th anniversary.
That's a great cover.
It is a great cover.
Great shot of the Enterprise.
I would actually say the Claymation Mario from Mario Bros. 3.
That's the original one, right? That's the first cover. Super Mario 2.
They did a bit of a nod to it when Mario Bros. 3 came out. So they did a redo, and it was a little more probably on nicer paper.
Okay.
Yeah.
If you need to, listener, you can go back 2 pages on archive.com and. Or archive.org and see these covers that we're talking about live.
They say the worst cover is Castlevania 2, wherein Simon Belmont is holding Dracula's head.
Because it gave people nightmares.
Yeah, it was a PR nightmare.
See, they say it's fun to work there, but they had to field those calls.
Dude, I was actually pretty impressed by some of the mea culpas in this feature.
How so, Andy?
Well, they're saying like worst timing, worst cover, worst. Worst
they have like worst
contest
segment.
biggest mistake that's kind of there seems to be some like bad feelings among this staff.
All reflection is good reflection.
We love working here.
They literally, there's this old section called George and Rob that they fucking shit on. Constant. They drew them like in caricatures, like as gross, like they like, drew them
those
as,
guys like, I believe on my episode there was a runner about the president of the magazine spitting on their grapes.
Yeah, that's right. And
it definitely happened.
And they pretty much do. They like drew them as like gross, fat, skinny. Like they just drew them grossly. And then pretty much the segment immediately disappears. And they were like, "Hey, yeah, we knew that segment was shitty." And it was like these two guys like putting their hearts into a segment. It was about them, and they were like reviewing games.
We're really getting a window into a toxic culture. I mean, like you were saying, it's like, yes, M. Arakawa came up with a brilliant idea of a magazine that should be like the Encyclopedia Britannica of
Please don't fire me!
Yeah. And notice no mention at all of Gail Tilden, editor in chief, who is famously
one who. Yeah. Yeah. It's weird that they don't talk much about her.
Is she famously a hard ass?
Yes, that was in. It was in one of the doc. I think it's in the Netflix game documentary. She's in it, and you know, she's hardcore.
And George and Rob also in this second, they just immediately just ripped. Like, yeah, it was a shitty segment. You guys are idiots.
We always hated these guys. Yeah,
we always hated them. We're with you. We hate them. They just threw into the fucking sharks.
I do love that they basically say the celebrity profile is all bullshit. Like they say it's really great when our celebrities actually like video games. Like Ken Griffey Jr. takes a video game system wherever he goes. And I think the implication is everyone else from Will Smith to whoever else did not actually like video games.
Well, you can tell reading the articles as adults where it was like, most of this is bullshit.
Well, they also interviewed Bart Simpson.
And you know Bart Simpson hates video games.
Except for the Simpsons Bart versus the World. And
yeah, he shills for his stuff. There was... going back to George and Rob for a second, did you catch the line where they replaced them with math symbols?
Yes, this is better for our readers.
Yeah, because now in the review section, our whatever it's called, it's like plus and minus, like the good parts and the bad parts of the game.
Yeah, least favorite column, George and Rob's now playing.
Yeah. How about the highest power meter rating here? Super Mario World.
Yeah, deserved. Yeah. Obviously.
You think
across
all systems, you think that's the one?
Yeah, for now.
Yeah,
Mario World's
until
great.
We haven't gotten to T2, the arcade game on Game Boy.
Yeah, when that comes out, it'll be the new top. Yeah. Also, Run Saber is in this issue, so its score can't be higher than Super Mario World.
They published a wrong cheat code for Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Yeah.
And it was a total nightmare.
They owned up to...
the one that turned you into soup instead.
Oh, right.
Where you had to play half the game as turtle soup. Yeah.
You control the spoon, Shredder's spoon going into the soup.
It
turned into motion controls for that portion.
It's weird that they have an entire level where the turtle, it's just April O'Neil taking a pregnancy test, that when it's positive, it's a little turtle face.
Yeah, and it has the different, like, oh, it's a turtle with a purple headband. Donatello's the father.
Would not have gone Donnie.
It's weird. It's weird to think about.
Yeah.
I took a pregnancy test, and it was a blue strip, and I'm like, oh, that's right.
I did it.
I had sex with Leonardo.
It was Bubsy.
It was both inside.
It's orange.
It just shows up as a t-shirt with an exclamation point. You
know? Actually, it's orange. It's like, oh, was it Bubsy or Michelangelo?
Also, wait, Bubsy's power-ups were just changing shirts. Did you guys see that in the feature too?
No.
He's funny.
Yeah, it's a funny thing.
It was funny. Okay.
It's a funny thing.
And when he jumps on a guy, there's like a cloud and there's like a little pause because he's fighting when he jumps on.
There's one too many funny cats, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Name one other funny cat from like 20 minutes ago.
I bet you can't even come up with one other funny cat.
Garfield?
Felix? He's serious.
Anyway.
Apparently a kid won a contest where he got to meet Arnold, but it took a year. And he finally met Arnold Schwarzenegger. He just got a handshake and then Arnold left.
That must have been really
that's
traumatic.
Downplaying it though, because Arnold Schwarzenegger shaking a kid's hand will break that hand. And he has that cast for months, you know, and he gets to remember it.
Yeah, the real prize was the cast that he had to wear for 6 months.
Yeah.
I'd rather meet Stallone.
Would you? You were more of a Stallone.
What in the Stallone contest so far, unfortunately. There was the RoboCop 2 one. Again, not a thing you would want like a 10-year-old kid.
Odd question. What is the celebrity you genuinely would want to meet if you had a contest?
Well, a Nintendo Power contest?
It is.
So they have to have been prevalent during Nintendo Power?
Bill Clinton. That'd be good.
What game on the SNES do you think Bill Clinton was like way?
The Sox game.
Aerobiz.
Oh, was there a Sox game?
There was a Sox game.
Okay.
That was his cat.
For me. Oh, okay.
Shigeru Miyamoto, the king
of
the
Nintendo. God, that would be great.
Yeah, that's a legitimately good
one. Does he speak English or is it
not?
Just,
not really.
Not for you.
You'd have a translator.
He's not going to put that effort in.
Some kid would be like, hey, what are you doing? I like video games. Like, stay away from me, kid. You bother me.
I would want Nintendo Power to help me force Tom Hanks to play like 4 hours of Super Mario Bros. 2 with me.
Yeah,
that would be great.
That to me is like why the magazine should have existed.
Yeah,
I should have a better response for this, but I just keep thinking about Felicia Day. So I guess I want to meet Felicia Day through a Nintendo Power contest. That's a perfect response.
But this is, but we're talking about like during the Nintendo Power
era. And he wanted to meet Felicia Day at that age.
Like in the 1990s.
Hello, little girl.
No, I would be a child also. A child.
Hang on, is that weird? Hold on, come on.
Come on.
I'd want to meet Mario.
Brett, we have to have such a long conversation.
Brett, you are sweaty. We're here at Classified Info. You guys got anything on this?
I have to ask, because this is volume 50, and this is the only piece of the magazine that has no self-reflection. They're like, what's the best cheat code the two of you seen in reading through all these?
Their secret movie cutscenes you could unlock in Q-Bert on the Game Boy.
That's right. Yeah.
Q-Bert?
I was in that episode.
Q-Bert on the Game Boy. You could type in cheat codes, and there's specific comedic scripts.
Q-Bert just living his life?
Yeah, you get to see Q-Bert do a little like sitcom stuff.
I'm going to have to vote for the Bubsy the Bobcat code that resets the game. The most important.
Could you explain what this code is?
So I'm sorry. We start and select on the second controller. It resets the game.
On the second controller?
I think so.
Wait a minute. No, so that's the like be like, hey, Brett, you want to like come play Bubsy with me? And then I'm like, look, your controller's doing something. And then you reset the game. And I'm like, wait, what? Hold on.
It's important to have a quick way to stop playing Bubsy the
that's
Bobcat.
That's almost as good as like Metal Gear Solid. Like, don't use the second controller or I'll know.
Oh, I would say one bullshit cheat code that's a good cheat code to know is in Street Fighter 2, you need to do a cheat code to be able to play the same character.
What a crock of shit.
Yeah.
To like, have two...
To both be Ryu. Like, you got to be Ryu with a different skin color. Like,
do you think that's because Street Fighter 2 is like, look, the reality of this world is that they're fighting each other.
So early in that genre of game that they were just like, you know, Mario's not going to want to jump. We'll put a cheat code in that you can't, so you can, though.
Yeah. I would be freaked out if I was in a worldwide fighting championship a la Street Fighter.
And you faced yourself?
And I faced myself, I'd be like, wait a minute,
but wearing like a purple shirt.
I've been training years for this, but not to face myself. Yeah, I fought so I didn't have to face myself.
Probably my greatest test.
Yeah. I know every move, but do I know every feeling? Yeah.
Right. That would be a good movie.
Yeah. Self versus self.
Wow.
It'd be fun to meet Mario, too. I don't know.
All right, Star Fox comic. Slippy has a girlfriend named Croquella.
Slippy has a girlfriend. I'll believe it when I see it.
Slippy is, like, kind of unusually cool in this comic. I feel like the comic is probably... Slippy's a producer on the comic, and like with the feature is looking over the shoulder of the writer.
Yeah.
Being like, no, make me cooler. Have me save the day.
Yeah. Tell them I have an STI.
Yeah.
Hey, tell them.
Slippy does announce.
Tell them my junk is messed up.
Slippy is writing a note to his, they've defeated Andross.
Yeah. And the story is over.
You want to set this up? You're Falco?
Sure, I'm Falco. I'm hanging out with Slippy. We have new R wings. We've defeated Andross, and there's peace in the.
What's your nickname, Andross?
Slippy. I don't know.
He calls him the Slipster.
Oh, the Slipster. I have a really bad quality issue. Anyway, Slippy's writing a letter to his girlfriend.
It's a letter from my girlfriend, Croquella. She gave me my first warp.
Which is how did this get past? How did that get past everybody?
Hey, you know what? It's probably... I'm not going to say it.
Say it.
All right, fine.
Say it.
It's that guy, Dan What's-His-Face from Nickelodeon shows in the 2000s was behind this comic.
Nice.
Is that the Blue's Clues guy?
No. I'm thinking of the guy that Jeanette McCurdy hates because he's horrible.
Drake and Josh?
No. This is all going out. This is all getting cut.
My Teenage Robot?
No.
Oh, the pedophile who created Invader Zim.
Invader Zim. Zim was
Jonan Vasquez. No.
Yeah, Invader Zim. Yeah.
Is he really?
Invader Zim. He loved kids.
Major plot point.
Invader Zim was like Zim himself was kind of asexual, but Jonan Vasquez was
not a lot of kids.
Yeah, but he was a predator.
To be fair, I didn't witness this. I just heard it. But I am saying Jonan.
You are the only one that I know of that's saying this.
The Ren and Snippy dude was a piece of shit, right?
He's a creep. Yeah,
Well, yeah, but look at Ren and Stimpy. He did that to them.
He made them that way. Children's program.
But this is reminding you of like a pedophile.
You know, yeah, you're getting pedophilic vibes from this Star Fox comic.
No, I'm saying like as an explanation for
oh
why.
My god, you're telling me that Croquella is 50 years older than Slipster?
The Slipster.
She gave me my first wart.
Yeah, when like she 12. Was your first grade teacher. Yeah. Anyways, so there's like a ship that's getting attacked by stingrays, but the frogs are good now. The lizards.
The lizards. We beat Andross. The lizards are good. Just for this argument.
And the fox and the falcon. And,
yo, and there's, a new, there's a new character.
Yes, all the members of the Star Fox team. Slippy, I think there's
a rabbit.
A love interest for Fox named, what's her name?
She's been in the comic. She's been in the comic so far. I mean, honestly, we talked about earlier, edutainment. Star Fox
teaching us about.
Could you unpack that a little bit? How is what's
you didn't learn anything from this comic?
I learned that Slippy has genital warts.
Which vital lesson?
We don't know that wart is on his junk.
If you're an admiral, pulling in vacationing pilots,
general,
it's
General Pepper.
General Ooh. Pepper. Wow. General Pepper.
Peppy's father.
He used to be a sergeant. Sergeant Pepper. Get it?
I don't.
It's a...
I do.
There's a... there's a band called...
Sergeant Pepper, Lonely Sergeant.
I would love if the Slipster put everyone on, like, out of bed and, like, kind of sat down and, like, gave, like, a sitcom lesson.
It's like, let's talk... Yeah. Don't end up like me, Fox! General Pepper.
Date your teacher. Yeah, General Pepper.
General Pepper brings...
So like a broad pepper that is good spice for many kinds of dishes.
Brings a lollipop to a war briefing just to pull out some prop comedy.
Yeah.
No, he's addicted to lollipops. You know, in the entire comic, he has them there.
Okay, so this is an issue.
Maybe it's a nicotine lolly.
It's an issue.
Nicotine lolly? Yeah.
Nick lolly.
Does he always reference it in conversation?
Yeah, he won't shut up about his fucking lollies.
But it's giving me it's giving me like pedophile vibes.
Oh, it's weird that we're coming back to this. So
he shot Larry Slippy in.
The Star Fox team, including Hotshot Pilot Falcon, are flying in space and they decide to go to Titania to do something. And then
Well, we're all forgetting that they have upgraded R wings.
do all of them or just she? This, I gotta say, when I was on last, I was a big fan of the Star Fox comic. I thought it was great.
Yeah, how do you feel now?
I thought it was great. This is trash.
It's really, I wrote that in the notes. The past couple volumes of this issue, it's been bad. It's getting worse and worse. The art's still good, but it's still cool colors.
This one starts off being like, wow, things are sure different since we beat Andross. It's like, oh, so you don't have any reason to keep going. That's what you're telling me as a writer.
Yeah, but we do have, there's space creatures who are bad. Well,
but also it's like, oh my god, there's a crash. Yeah. Pepper's like, oh my gosh, you guys got to get out there. And then they're like,
find out what's going on.
But it's like, let's stop for Froyo. Yeah. You guys wanted us to do a quick pit stop for frozen yogurt?
Well, it's a little like the Star Wars sequel trilogy. It's like it doesn't have a reason for being.
Yeah, it doesn't. Why are we doing this? I don't know.
I have genital warts anyways.
Slipster.
What a weird and specific... Anyways, so they land on the planet.
I would like the new Star Wars films better if it was all about genital warts, right?
If?
Yeah, when?
That's a good
point. Luke, I gave you genital warts.
Oh, no.
That's why we have to burn these books.
So there is like one slightly sophisticated piece of storytelling here where they try to set up the idea that this lizard that is helping them work on the ships while everybody is getting Froyo is going to betray them. But then when the ship gets stolen, he's knocked out also like Slippy, and they take Farrah's Barbie dream R-wing because it's pink. And they zoom off after her and whoever stole the ship gets away. And then these fuckers forgot to refuel their ships. So the comic ends with them adrift in space.
We've been had.
Fuck Star Fox.
Yeah. My note here, boy, the Star Fox team are a bunch of idiots.
This is the crack team that defeated Andross, noted ape of the galaxy.
Yeah.
Hey, if there's apes, why are... Wait, what was the line? How do you disprove evolution? Brad, this was your story.
Because we still have an Andross ape.
God says it's okay.
Oh, apes, why? If we came from apes, why are there still apes?
Oh, that's a good question.
Your youth pastor really did not set you up for success.
Yeah.
Hey, it's here. Legend of Zelda Link's Awakening.
The inception of Zelda.
Zeldaception. Going four layers deep.
I think, you know, has anyone ever thought about there's sort of some interesting double meanings in Zelda games in terms of their titles? Yeah. Do you want to speak to that?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I was thinking
about this. We did talk for about 15 minutes about the title being Link's Awakening at the start of the podcast.
The Zelda jokes, you know, at the beginning. I feel like when you bring the context of the new Zelda games in, you got to think they're in on the jokes now. Because they're like, let's do an open world map. Let's do the biggest map we've ever made, and let's call it Breath of the Wild.
Breath of the Wild.
And then you know what? Let's make this a little bit bigger. Let's add some layers. Let's add an attic, a little sky attic, and a little Underdark basement.
Oh my God, that's what they did.
And call it Tears of the Kingdom.
Oh my God. Tears of the Kingdom. They're in on it now.
Yeah.
So I think we have to assume this meaning's always been there as we start to talk about Link's Awakening. What is Link Awakening 2? Is it really, as I posited earlier, just the very end of the game? Or is this his awakening in some other way? The whole way through.
Well, he can jump in this one.
He's awakening to the power of flight.
Do you guys feel like dreams ever have meaning? Or it's like some sort of symbol that you should change your life around?
Do you dream a lot?
I don't dream very much at all.
I don't dream very much.
Yeah. I have extraordinarily...
Why don't you dream?
Like, do you think maybe like a big egg could symbolize something if you have a dream?
100%. Yeah. Especially if there's a big egg and an owl.
Okay, Andy, do you dream frequently?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, I don't dream much.
Yeah.
Do you think there's something wrong with you?
I mean, if anything, you're the one stuck in light sleep cycles.
Yeah.
dreaming is important for the brain.
Work some stuff off. I think I dream a lot during the day.
Like daydreaming?
Like writing.
Your daydreams are channeled into your writing.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah. I mean,
I really enjoyed the Link's Awakening remake on Switch.
Yeah, do you think it like carried the best elements of the original game in?
I thought it was great. Also the thing where one of the criticisms that Brett, you've disagreed with me about this before.
But no, I don't agree with this.
Limiting your actions to two buttons means that you have to like So with the new version, you have a lot more access to
because
you're having to equip and unequip the feather to do jumps all the time, right, which is really annoying.
Yeah, I thought you were going to talk about the common critique that Link's too cute in this one.
He's a little cute.
They just made him way cuter in the new one.
Yeah.
Do you think Gex would have been a more successful franchise if Gex was a little cutie?
He would have been like, whoa, I woke up on an island. I had too many last night.
I do have to talk about this. Link wakes up with no memory on a beach a lot. Right? Wind Waker.
He's got his memory, though.
But he doesn't know how he got there.
I think... That's true.
Did he just fall asleep on the beach? Is it just a thing he does, or is it a problem?
He's a sleepyhead. Like an Ocarina of Time, he starts off. I think they set him up as he's a little sleepyhead.
Is it? He's very sleepy.
Nintendo's greatest hero has narcolepsy.
Even in the comic books, he was very sleepy. He was a big sleepyhead.
You know what? In all the games, Link gets the Master Sword. He gets like 20 hearts. He gets all these items. He goes to sleep. He forgets everything. This happens a lot. This almost never happens in my life where I like wake up and I have to do my job. But
oh, please, you've won 3 hearts here today.
Oh, my goodness. Thank you. And I have a wooden sword.
Hey-o.
Hey-o.
That would be a great opportunity for that. Badumch. I knew you were going to do this.
Can I pitch you guys? This is a Zelda. You know how this was a Mario movie?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I have a Zelda movie.
You have a Zelda movie. Ooh. I mean,
This is a Zelda movie.
Pitch it.
Okay. So there's a game called Legend of Zelda Link to the Past.
Heard of it.
This is a game. It's a movie. It's a movie called The Legend of Zelda, A Link in Los Angeles. Right?
Okay.
Link goes through a warp tunnel into Los Angeles, and he's like, my name is Link. Kingdom of Hyrule, and he has to go on auditions to play like heroes, but he never quite gets the job. And he walks into the audition room, and he's like, "My name is Link. I have the Master Sword," and he never gets any jobs.
Is there like a big there's a space mission that's about to leave in that story, and he has to like help his ancestor who's going on the mission but is having some doubts, like a different Link, like say Linkle.
You think, wait,
is in 2024 Los Angeles. Yeah. I'm just reciting the plot of season two of Star Trek.
Picard. Do we think that, Legend of Zelda will make it to space? Fast and Furious did it.
God, I really.
Where do you go after Tears of the Kingdom?
Fast and Furious goes to space.
Oh, I'm sorry. Ludacris and Tyrese have been in space, my friends.
Oh, but not the whole family.
Even Charlie and the Chocolate Factory went to space in the second book.
The glass elevator.
Yeah.
I mean, where do you go after Tears of the Kingdom?
Can you imagine Link on the moon? That'd be great.
I don't know.
You don't even make any changes to the game.
Isn't it from Zelda, the moon has a face?
Oh, Majora's Mask.
Oh, yeah.
Does he end up on that moon?
Look, I feel bad about my movie pitch.
Hey.
I was thinking
maybe Ganondorf could also go there, and he's a really good actor.
Oh.
See, that's good.
That's good.
And Link has to kill him at the Oscars.
I was watching the Mario movie on an international flight, and I thought it was pretty bad.
Well, great Easter eggs in the background. But,
I guess so.
Terrible, terrible movie.
It's for all the kids who want to play video games but don't have thumbs.
Or kids who like want to watch people playing video games on Twitch. That's wrong with today's generation.
I just, what if a kid,
a couple hard lines drawn in the sand.
What if
here?
A kid gets to the first pit in Mario and it's just like, oh my God, and doesn't have anybody, like an older sibling to like do it for them.
Oh, kid, do you want a participation trophy?
Ooh, okay. Wait, we're moving on from Zelda?
This is a good game. I mean, it was impressive for the hardware, right?
Yeah.
Like, it was really impressive that the Game Boy was able to pack that much of a punch. It felt like a full AAA experience.
Not a calculator game.
Yeah.
I also loved the Rock's Feather as an item. I mean, like,
that was so cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He does a little loop.
Yeah.
But it was, I remember playing Link's Awakening and being a little confused of going like, okay, got my sword and shield. Okay, cool. I got my magic powder. All right. I got this feather I can jump with. All right. I got a shovel. And now they give me a bomb? Now I'm blowing walls up?
Yeah.
That's like every
It escalates
Zelda.
Quickly.
It does.
That's when I stopped.
No. I remember playing through this game as a child.
And?
And I...
What did Link's Awakening awaken in you?
A spirit of adventure. a longing for parts unknown.
There's a crane game minigame.
There's also a fishing mini game,
but yeah, it's a little game that packs a powerful punch, like Kevin Hart.
Link's Awakening, the Kevin Hart of the Zelda series.
We keep going. Please, somebody pull lights. Like the show's over.
All right, I can quickly get us through Gargoyle's Quest 2. Skip.
Gargoyles had their moment.
A game about a gargoyle. Give me a break.
Yeah.
All right, we're here at T2, the arcade game, and I think we have a little bit to say about it. Andy, didn't you own this?
Yes, I owned many Terminator games. I had Terminator 2 on Game Boy and Terminator 2, the arcade game, this game. And I love it because it's a classic arcade game. The review mentions probably 6 times how difficult the play control is. Mm-hmm. I know it's very important.
Gotta be a skip for me.
Theme and fun.
I think it's a great game. I think it's better than Terminator 2.
As a movie? You think
no, there's a game. I think the movie's better, but this is probably a better experience in the arcade or on Super NES or Genesis. But it's fun to have in a portable package.
Do you think Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves, the movie or the game is better?
I think the movie.
Doesn't Alan Rickman play the bad guy?
He does. Prince
of Thieves? I gotta go movie.
I used to have it on Laserdisc.
How's the play control?
There's zero. It's a movie.
And the game.
I guess you have to put the disc into the Laserdisc player.
Have you ever thought about meeting Mario?
All right, we're on Mighty Final Fight. Cute art, bitch. That's what I wrote.
Metro City.
Cute art, bitch?
Crime capital of the world.
Cute art.
Oh,
cute art, bitch.
Art.
Bitch.
This is a one-player Final Fight game. Again, what a messed up thing to do.
Yeah, but
Double Dragon was two players.
I like the characters in it. Because you can play as the mayor of the town who's really buff.
I think it's a problem to have a buff mayor.
Yeah. Do you think
controversy?
I think that'd be great.
He looks like
Jesse
Ventura.
Stop all the crime in the city.
Do you think Mike Higer voted for Trump?
Hmm. Who's that?
Yeah, Trump, President Trump.
What?
Hey guys, there's a little little Power Shop catalog
Nintendo?
Here. You get some sweet merch, and I just wanted to ask, throw this to the group. What would you guys buy for yourself from this little
Well, first, I'd like to remind us that there's no advertising in this magazine.
Yes. War is peace.
Freedom is slavery.
I don't question anything.
I would pay, can you imagine $50 for 50 issues? I'd do that today.
Yeah, this is...
I would do that.
You'd be repeating the issue that you're holding, though.
Well, yeah, I have a PDF. Would I love to have a... I actually had a dream last night that I went into my attic in my childhood home and found this issue, and I brought it to today's podcast.
Oh, you were excited to be here. That's great.
I was literally dreaming about this podcast. We're talking about dreams?
We're talking about dreams. We're back there.
Nolan deals with the...
The dream space
in the film Memento. What is memory? Think about it. All right.
It's good questions to ask on this podcast.
Yeah. Inception is possible. I've done it.
You've done it.
No, that's a line in the movie.
I used to have a lot of dreams where I would like have dreams where I was like, my brother would be in it. And he's like, yeah, we're having the same dream, man. We're in the same dream. We're in the same dream world right now. And I'd have that a lot where I was like,
did you ever try to confirm with your brother?
No, I never did. Yeah, possible.
So were you?
I don't know. It'd be crazy to bring
How do
it
you
up.
Not wake up and ask him about that? Hey, you what's your guess? What's the percentage of guess you think that, like, over under, you think we had the same dream last night?
I was worried he'd make fun of me.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
I would give absolutely. You a swirly. I'm going to get this Superpower Club baseball cap with the purple brim. It looks awesome.
I would get all 50 volumes.
Yeah.
For sure.
I need a magazine holder.
I also like, that's why I like Game Pass. I like owning more things than I can consume. Like, I like the idea of, like, having like 20 video games in my, you know, it's like,
yeah, we get it. You're very American.
This is the central problem of humanity.
Shit, God damn it.
Consume.
Yeah, we get it. You're a patriot.
I love it.
There's that, the thing, the Japanese philosophy that having a bunch of books you haven't read on your shelves is somehow good.
Hey.
So I
can keep buying books and not read what I got.
Sounds like I'm Japanese. Not American.
What I'd like to buy is the paperback of the Zelda comic, the complete Zelda comic, cool. Which I did purchase.
From the Nintendo Power Shop?
Yes, and it was very exciting. It was a very long 6 weeks to wait for it, and it was a very happy day when it came.
You know what's crazy about how much, with Amazon and delivery time, they do overnight shipping now.
Player poll contest.
This is a contest. They always have like a player poll contest where you like kids submit and
in return
prize.
For your consumer data.
Normally there's like one grand prize that you can win, but this time it's special. Since this is the 50th issue, they're really hammering the number 5, and there's 5 different prizes, and you can choose to become in the pool of one of 5 options. The 5 prizes are: you can win a game a week for 50 weeks. Every week, you're going to get a game sent
like that,
to you.
That's the one
you
right there.
You can get 5 Game Boys each with 5 games.
That's a great present.
You can get
that's cool.
A $500 certificate to any Nintendo dealer. You can get a party for 50 friends.
An arcade party.
And you can also get 50 pounds of quarters.
Okay.
Which is $1,000.
It's $1,000? You looked up the weight?
I already looked up, yeah.
Okay.
Which would you ever apply for?
Well, I got to ask first, which Nintendo Power Reader has 50 friends?
You're going to have to dip into, you're going to have to invite your bullies.
The girl from Hawaii is friends with her brother. That's about it.
That's it. Yeah. But otherwise, you're bringing, you win this, and then what? What happens in your life after you win this
party?
Well,
maybe it's that thing of like, in elementary school,
everybody in your grade.
You would invite everybody in your grade, right? To your birthday party.
Yeah.
So you're going to have that awkward, that classic conversation with the acquaintance that you kind of don't like and who kind of doesn't like you. And she's like, oh, hey, how's it going? And I'm like, good.
Yeah. And that's your entire birthday party that year.
Yeah.
Nintendo paid for us to play all the games. So surely you should go make the most of it.
All right, I will. Thanks.
What if this kid just
became
the most?
School starts again.
That happened. And now he or she is the most popular kid.
Just started running their school.
That's the story of how Barack Obama started.
Yeah. I'd go 50 pounds of quarters.
For 50 of his friends.
Yep.
I think the novelty of 50 pounds of quarters is pretty fun.
I would go for the 50 pounds of quarters just for the sheer fun of it.
Yeah. Right? And to get ripped.
I would never convert it to real money.
No.
I mean,
it's like, sorry, this is my arcade money.
$1,000.
It's my arcade money, Mom.
Just throw fistfuls of quarters at your mom.
I earned this.
What's up, Donkey Kong on the arcade? I need another quarter. Why don't I just pick one from my 50 pounds of quarters?
Yeah, you have the high score on every cabinet just because you
constantly feeding the machine.
And you're absolutely ripped.
Oh, and you're so strong.
Because you're so, from lifting the quarters.
Yeah. You're so strong.
I would get five Game Boys with five games.
Well, you'd also have to think of the risk-reward for each one as well. Like, if it's to the most popular one, more people would submit to it, so it's less likely to get it.
I think a game a week for 50 weeks, it would be like, oh, what pieces of shit games do we have?
Yeah. Well, what you do is you're like, I need 10 copies of Super Mario Bros. 3 so I can sell 9 of them.
Right.
Yeah. And I
guarantee Apple it's stock. Just 50 versions of Madden Football.
Sure. Hey, I got Wayne's World on NES last week.
It's just every time it's Wayne's World too.
It's five Game Boys.
A game a week for 50 weeks, but all 50 are Bubsy.
Oh no.
We're here at the top 20. Let's take a look at the top three. Hey, we got a bunch of guests. Ethan, do you want to take us through the top three SNES games?
Star Fox. This is a callback. Number one for me.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Star Fox. This is where I came into this pod.
Speaking of games with good soundtracks, that first Star Fox game, none of the others really...
Neat, 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 neat. Dad. That'll be the voices talking. Don't they have like kind of Animal Crossing voices in that game?
That's Slippy.
That's great.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why I'm showing up. At number two... With 10,000 less points.
Yeah.
Street Fighter 2. That's a big gap.
Does Street Fighter 2 have a good soundtrack?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Iconic. Lots of FM sounding.
Bam.
Wait, how's it go?
Bam, bam, bam.
It's like I'm there.
It's just Star Fox again.
Yeah. I don't know any of the songs from Street Fighter 2. I've heard it. I think for some reason my gut is telling me it has a good soundtrack, though. I don't know.
Ken, I don't remember how it goes, but the Ken level has a good song.
Yeah, it's great.
I'm just Ken, everywhere else I'd...
Just Ken doing stand-up.
Yeah. And number three, Legend of Zelda, Link to the Past. Holding strong. That's
a good Hell one. Yeah. Andy, what about Game Boy
Games? The top three.
The Legend of Zelda, A Link in Los Angeles, ladies and gentlemen.
He number goes one on spot on 502 votes.
I'm going to go back to the drawing board. Game Boy, Super Mario Land 2, 6 golden coins. I love this game. Mario's still going strong this month, taking the top 2 Game Boy spots. With games like these, he is going to be tough to beat. In the second position, Super Mario Land, Mario, Mario, Mario. This guy is everywhere. His original Game Boy and Metroid still going strong. And in number 3 position, Metroid 2, the Return of Samus. Strong player and pro support keeps Samus in the running for first. Even in third place, this game still packs a punch.
Hey, Andy, are you doing the Double Dare announcer?
Yeah.
All right, for the NES, I'm going to do the opposite of everybody else and go 3-2-1 instead of first place, second place, third. Third place, Mega Man 5. Second place, The Legend of Zelda. First place.
What could it be?
Super Mario Brothers 3.
Wow.
Boom.
Okay, let's just be done.
Just like Bubsy, Bubsy would say, what could possibly go wrong?
And why am I doing this?
I did want to say in the now playing, George and Rob may be gone, but the pluses and minus here, they're so bitchy.
We come to the now playing. For the sass.
Super Turrican, positives, a terrific challenge in all stages and good graphics. Turrican is like an iconic shooter franchise out of Europe. Minuses, there's no way to shoot upward with your regular blaster.
I'd like to point out the minus for the game Run Saber. It says the story is as old as video games.
What does that even mean?
Is this like a tale as old as time?
I don't know.
Tale as old as Run Saber.
Minus for WWF Royal Rumble. More wrestlers and even more special moves would have been nice. Some of the old favorite wrestlers weren't included. What a whiny.
Yeah. They didn't get my guy. Let's look at the plus for, I don't know, the game that is on all our minds.
Alien 3.
Bubsy.
Bubsy.
Some of the best character animation ever seen in a video game.
That's not true.
Bubsy, look at you. You're looking good. Speed, challenge, fun, and 16 ways to bite the big one. Whoa.
What? Oh, the different animations for how you die.
One of the best character action games around.
Bubsy. Suggested retail price, $69.95.
Nice.
Which would be like $600 today.
It'd be like $140.
I think that tracks.
Where in the world
like
is Carmen?
Quarters.
Where in the world is Carmen Sandiego? Positive, a good mix of easy and difficult clues. minus, to be successful, you must already have a decent knowledge of geography. What the fuck?
I don't want to know stuff.
Hey, I went to a different country and they got pounds.
And that's edutainment.
All right. I think we did it.
Coming up next issue, issue 51.
Yeah, after all
volume!
Of
this-
And edit there.
Next issue, Street Fighter 2 Turbo, Alien 3, Ripley's on Search and Destroy Mission. Next month issued into the power, Jurassic Park. The giant dinosaurs rule the terrain of Jurassic Park. And okay. Star Trek, The Next Generation on Game Boy.
Should we do a thanks for joining us, Ethan and Andy? Really appreciate you.
Yeah, you should.
Guys,
hey, thanks.
Coming on.
Guys, very nice. This was a joy and a delight.
Do y'all want to plug anything?
Is this sincere?
Here's my Venmo QR code.
All right, there's like a
paint
black
the
block
picture
and then a white
can
block.
Can you see where all the dots are?
Oh, yeah, Andy Petruzzo. I have new Venmo transactions every Monday and Wednesday. Here's the QR code.
It's two white spaces, one black dot, one white space, one black dot.
I'm going left to right.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's the top line.
Three white spaces.
Okay, the second line.
Black dot.
Weston, do you have anything to promote?
No. Just busy.
Yeah.
Busy.
Yeah.
Everyone take care of yourself in the busy season.
Take care.
We're all busy. We're all living
everybody
life.
Doing take our care best out there.
Hey, if you're listening and you want to support the Entertainment Community Fund or WGA or SAG on strike, look to their websites for anything you can do to send us sandwiches and stuff while we're out picketing the studios.
And if you want to send money to Bob Iger or David Zaslav, we'll have links in the
bio. We'll have links in the bio for that as well.
So this is scheduled to come out end of October. So what would we
I
want to
hope
plug?
They're done.
Like, hopefully, I will be done with this game's job, so I can go do something.
End
else.
Of October, I've got a movie written by then,
and hopefully. I hope you're ready for a spooky Halloween season.
Yeah, but
finally, it's our chance to watch the Haunted Mansion.
Everyone, look at my cool pumpkin I carved.
Yeah, everyone, just like come by around my place. See the jack o' lanterns I have.
I've got great candy.
I've got great candy. If you need corn for trick or treat.
Wait, do we get our plugs?
Ethan, I got it. All nerds are up. Sure. I'm Ethan August. Follow me at NoneByIowa on Instagram. It's currently a spam account, and let's see if that lasts.
You going to post anything on there?
We'll see. I'm anti-social media.
I don't want to tell you what my Reddit name is, but I create new ones every day because I get banned from subreddits every day. I just post spam OnlyFans links. So if you see one of those, it might be me.
Nice.
Is it your OnlyFans or are you working for OnlyFans models?
Actually,
or like scam links?
I don't actually know.
You should link the podcast.
Okay.
I have it say an OnlyFans, but it goes to our podcast.
I'll take that under advisement.
I'll think about it.
I have a second secret podcast where I pretty much just talk about Run Saver.
Great.
I'm sorry about that.
And I have a second secret podcast where I'm really trying to draw attention to the plight of the cylinder mutant. Yeah.
It's weird that we didn't know about each other until today. Because like that's a pretty like
you guys should collab.
Should we? I don't know. I think you killed a lot of my kind.
I think the Run So The Now You're Playing With podcast is brought to you by the Podcast Power Players Power Team. Music by Games Cameron. Find back episodes, send us emails, and do cool stuff at our website, nowyourplaying.com. That's your with an E, because we know how to do grammar.